Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Really moving from this place of a friend group to a formalized business to structure. But the beautiful thing about structure is that there's very clear understanding.
You're listening to Side Hustle Pro, the podcast that teaches you to build and grow your side hustle from passion project to profitable business. And I'm your host, Nikayla Matthews Okome. So let's get started. Hey guys, welcome back to the show. Today in the guest chair, we have Imani Ellis, the founder of CultureCon and the Creative Collective NYC, a community and creative agency dedicated to facilitating brave spaces for multicultural creatives. Born in Imani's one-bedroom apartment as a means to foster meaningful connections, the CCNYC has since become the fastest growing community devoted to creatives of color in NYC who are looking to cultivate relationships that go beyond the business card. The CCNYC's marquee event is CultureCon, the fastest growing conference dedicated to creatives of color. Past speakers include heavyweights like Tracy Ellis Ross, Will Smith, Regina King, Spike Lee, John Legend, and more. In addition to community events, the Creative Collective also works as an impactful creative agency, ideating creative strategies that resonate with multicultural creatives and young professionals and bridging the gap between brands and these multicultural creatives. Through all of this, would you believe that Imani is still a side hustler? Let's get right into the episode to find out how she's juggling an impressive career and a game-changing side hustle. So welcome to the guest chair, Imani.
Hi, thank you for having me.
I really appreciate you being here. Now, first things first, you got to give us a peek into the life of Imani. What was your first experience with side hustling?
Well, you know, it kind of really just happened by mistake. I have a full-time job at NBC Universal and love my job, but really kind of wanted to hone in on the community. I really felt like to be in a city with millions of people and millions of creatives that like I lacked the community that I had in college when you go to the cafeteria or you go to the quad and everyone is there. And so I invited some friends over to my house, and it was really meant to be a very casual but intentional meetup. And the only requirement was to bring someone you can vouch for. It was my apartment, couldn't have phone chargers being stolen. And so it was 20 people. And, you know, each of those 20 people brought someone that they really thought could benefit from that environment. And so it was 40 people total. We all went around the room saying, you know, I kind of feel this way at work, or I could really use a graphic designer, or does anyone know how to start a business plan? And from there, you know, they kind of were like, Imani, you should do this more. And me just being who I am, I was like, I'm going to do it every month. And that was how the Creative Collective was born.
So I am reading your background, and you have such, I mean, everyone has like an interesting background, right? But it's not often that I meet someone who was in the Nutcracker. So as a matter of fact, you danced ballet for 14 years. You were the first African-American to star as Clara in the Nutcracker in the Atlanta Ballet's 75-year history. Now, how did that experience, in addition to the fact that you ran track, you know, you're very much an athlete, how does that inform the stamina you have to be a side hustler, to work at NBC and start the Creative Collective?
You're like the best researcher ever. I love that you know that. I'm so glad that you brought up, you know, dance and track, because I'm just really realizing now what a profound effect they've had on my life. You know, you really are learning that the endurance and the strength and all of the exercises are necessary for the end result. And so I was dancing 6 days a week, my mom, my dad, my sisters, all driving an hour down to Atlanta Ballet for rehearsals and point. And I did ballet for 14 years. So it was really a huge part of my life, the self-discipline, just all of the character that it builds. And I can see it today, because really the motto is that you don't stop when you're tired, you stop when the job is done. And I think, you know, of course, there's always a balance between working hard and burning out, but there is definitely that drive that I think a lot of times pushes me through, because I've got an athlete mentality. I sometimes almost am so confused when people don't want to finish what they started. Now, if you decide to pivot, that is everyone's right. But just to say, I think I'm done, I can't relate, because I think from being an athlete, from being a hurdler, from being a ballerina, that's just not in my DNA. I really want to see things through.
Oh, wow. I feel you on that, because when people tell me they want to do something and I ask them about it and they're like, oh, yeah. Like they're not even working on it. You're like, I can't take you seriously. Why even put it out there? So,
Right.
So speaking of that and side hustling, now it started in your apartment. I think that's so cool. Did you have a mission for it early on of what it could become?
Part of me thinks the blessing was that I didn't think it could become anything. It really was, I didn't really set out to start something. I set out to stop something. And what I wanted to stop was this idea that you had to compartmentalize, you know, who you were. That if I was a publicist, I couldn't have a community. Or if I wanted to, you know, do this, that meant that I could not do that. I really wanted this place where you could decide to be a banker by day and an artist by night, and that you weren't kind of on this track that sometimes we get into where it's like, okay, I guess this is the rest of my life. I'm just gonna, you know, work at this place and clock these hours, or, you know, I can't ever change my mind. And so, you know, I think the beautiful thing is, you know, that we were really trying to create something that we didn't see. And, you know, I was able to really kind of bring my friends into this idea and, you know, with all of their insights, even make it even bigger. And, you know, now looking back, you know, I'm kind of like, man, I had no idea that it was going to turn into a business. But over time, it became very evident that this was not just a little kind of monthly meetup, that this was kind of a necessity, and that there was a white space in New York City for it. And it's been such an amazing ride, honestly.
What I love about what you do is you give people permission to be themselves. We often kind of fall into making our career, our title, our identity. It's what people often ask us when we meet them for the first time. Hey, what do you do? Where do you work? All that good stuff. And it gives us pride, right? So a lot of our identity starts to meld into that, what we do for work. However, we all have multi-passions, and this show hopes to highlight a lot of that. I hope to help people to embrace their different quirks and things that they're interested in and pursue that. And so this space you created in your apartment started that. It started to help the banker be able to say, hey, I'm actually a musician. I know it sounds crazy, but I don't want to stop doing music, so I do both. Now, you decided to take it from your apartment, make it the Creative Collective NYC, actually have events in an event space. How did that come about? How did you go about doing that?
We have to really recognize that the things that you are exceedingly great at and that come naturally to you, those are gifts, and you have to lean into them. And as a publicist, you know, by day, we are working with so many different people and we're helping to create these larger than life ideas. And when we first started, there was no budget. There was no, you know, huge speakers. It really was just a bunch of creatives who were excited to build something bigger than themselves. And so, you know, we couldn't pay for a venue, but what we did have was this budding community. And so we were bartering things left and right. Like, we'll give you an Instagram takeover if you let us do an event at your space. And so it started out, you know, these events with 100 people. And I think what felt different is, you know, exactly what you just touched on. We didn't ask you to come with a business card. We wanted to know if you had seen the latest episode of Insecure. We wanted to know what your favorite food was. And people were like, wait, this isn't transactional. We're going to talk about things that are more than just my 9 to 5. And then you're going to ask me what I'm passionate about. It just felt like you could take your cool off, be yourself. And people were really hungry for it. And so one event turned to 2 events. And we were always asking our community, what do you want next? So it was always just building upon the natural kind of desires of what our community wanted. So when they said, we want to talk about financial literacy, we partnered with Bank of America to bring them in and talk about small business loans. And when they said, you know, we really want to talk about love and relationships, we partnered with BET and did a conversation all about what it feels like to date as a millennial. And so I think one of the things that we always want to stay true to, and one of the things that that's really fueled our growth, is just really staying in touch with our community and what they want, and not kind of getting too far ahead of ourselves that we're not really sure this is aligned with what our community really is wanting at the moment.
How big was the initial team at that point?
Originally, it wasn't really a team at first. It was me with like a made up kind of like logo. And, you know, I was someone that I was like, okay, it's starting. So I just started the Instagram and I'm posting on it. And then I remember asking kind of my immediate group of friends, hey guys, you know, I'm starting this collective. Do you want to help volunteer and help us throw some events? And from time to time we'll meet and, you know, it'll kind of be our own little like book club situation, except for we'll really kind of lean into how we can build each other up. And so, I mean, it had to have been maybe 6 of us. So, you know, it was my immediate friend circle. And the most beautiful thing was they all said yes. They all bought in. And I mean, that was a beautiful thing because you had Nabila and Michael and Lily and Kiana, Janae, all there from the very beginning. And so then that team, of course, grew and grew and grew. Right now, you know, we have a team of nearly 25 people across all of our platforms, but originally it was probably like 5 of us.
So what interests me about this is it takes a really steady mind, an organized mind with attention to detail, to pull off events that makes it look like you have a bigger, more formalized team than you actually do. So kudos to you. And also, from the outside looking in, it seems like early on, you had major partnerships. How did you go about that?
You know, we did our first CultureCon, and it was 100, maybe 20 people. And that was all just people kind of being like, we don't know what a CultureCon is, but we're not going to give you any money, but we'll like give you a free space. Yes. Or we'll donate some like granola bars and some liquor. And so everything was in kind donations. And, you know, it was us just being like, please, please, please believe in us. And people were like, yeah, we kind of believe in you. Like, we're not about to put our name on this just yet. And so at the first CultureCon, everything was in kind. And we noticed 2 things. One, that the waiting list had nearly 500 people on it for CultureCon. And two, that there were some awesome people there from HBO who were like, wait, this is really great. Like, could you do something like this with us? And I'm like, huh? Yes. And that was really the beginning, was them believing in us from the beginning. And from there, that was our first partnership, and it was a major one. And I'm always kind of, you know, amazed when I look back, because I really always had dreamt of this world where my friends and I were creating something that we had never seen before. And so we just wanted to lean into programming that we weren't seeing, conversations that we weren't seeing. And the beautiful thing was, it was just exactly what we wanted. We sat in these conference rooms, we brainstormed all these topics that we wanted to talk about. And I think the beautiful thing was that the people came because they wanted to talk about it too. And that's always just been, I think, our North Star is, you know, the beautiful thing is, like, it's trendy. And I think the other beautiful thing is that it's not a trend. Like, we clearly drive culture, and the fact that our brand partners have caught up to that, and the fact that everything is changing and there's never been more opportunity, it's just the new frontier. And we're, you know, now that our foot's in the door, we're about to kick it open. We're never leaving.
Okay. So I know different groups of friends who band together and say, we're going to create this thing. We don't see this out there. We want to do these kind of events. And I also don't see them creating something on the scale of CultureCon. So we got to back up a little bit. We have to back up a little bit and talk through the buildup to such a scale. So for example, when you started doing the creative collective, and you initially started having events, did you charge for those? Did you have a revenue model in the early days?
No, we didn't charge for our events in the early days. A lot of our events today, we still don't charge for. We really want to make sure that when we say we're for the community, that everyone has access to it. CultureCon, of course, is the exception. And every now and then we'll have very specific events that are charged for. But a lot of our events are free because they're educational based. And we want everyone to be able to come. In the beginning, same thing. I call it the apartment syndrome. I have to be honest, for a very long time, I didn't think that people cared or that they would come. I kind of had the reverse. I know sometimes, you know, people, they've been the founder of something for 2 days and it's already in their bio. They're already out here. Like, I'm the CEO and founder. I was the opposite. Like, I just put Creative Collective and CultureCon in my bio like 3 months ago, because I had this complex that I was like,
3 months ago.
My friends were like, Amani, I just had this complex that I was like, is anyone going to come? Does anyone even care? These kind of things kind of already sort of exist.
Yeah, I can relate. Yep.
It's like my own worst enemy, if I'm being completely honest, for such a long time, because it had not started in my mind as a business or a conference. It had started as this very small thing. A lot of times I got in my own way. And, you know, on the surface level, maybe it looks like humility, but it also was just kind of like this self-doubt that I had to push through, because I was like, are people going to come? This year at CultureCon, I turned to one of my friends, Michael, and I said, you know, Michael is our community outreach lead, and he's been a day one. And I said, Michael, is anyone going to come? He said, Amani, Tracy Ellis Ross is on her way. What are you talking about? And so I decided then and there, I will not ask that question anymore. We're beyond it. And yep. I say that all to say that, like, I really think that I'm finally in this place where I can stand in it. But it took me a very long time to acknowledge that it wasn't in my apartment anymore. It was kind of weird.
Well, when did you realize that you needed to charge, you know, you needed to have some events and have a revenue model?
I think, you know, it came to it that we really like to look at things as community first, meaning we're always going to make things accessible to the community, but we will charge our brand partners to have access to said community. And so for us, you know, CultureCon is kind of like the big honcho ticket that we present every year. And that drives, you know, a lot of our conversations. But, you know, what we also realized is that out of all these partnerships we were doing, that it really made sense to, you know, form a vertical that was an agency that really specifically worked with our brand partners to bring their dreams to life. And so that is a huge driver in terms of, you know, our business. And we've been really fortunate to work with brand partners who are aligned with our mission. And so it's always, it feels like extensions of us. I mean, so,
So what do you mean when you say an agency? There are many different forms of agencies. So what does it mean in the context of the creative collective?
So we will work with different brand partners to amplify their message. So perfect example is we worked with Nike on Curl Fest, and, you know, they found this incredible stat that was, you know, something along the lines of like, you know, and I'm going to totally bosh this, but it was something like 75% of African-American women or women with curly hair will not work out right after they've gotten their hair done, or will in some way kind of alter their workout routine because of their hair. And so we were brought in to partner with them to do an awesome activation where we specifically sought out women of all hair textures, super curly, coily, kinky hair. They did like a morning workout at the Nike headquarters, led by Brianna Owens, who is a dear friend of mine and also a business owner of Spike Spin. And then they had a beauty makeover where their hair wasn't getting straightened and pressed. It was curly as ever. And we brought in some incredible hairstylists who work with curly hair. And they were able to kind of zhuzh up their hair. And then they had brunch where they could talk about, you know, just like their experiences and how, you know, hair and their workout is connected. And then we continued on to Curl Fest. And that was an example of how we were able to partner with the brand to amplify their message. And their message was a message that we were echoing too. And so we will do partnerships like that throughout the year with different brand partners. And that's under our agency vertical.
Ah, okay. So you started thinking about having events and how you could do that in a way that was true to you. So still being for the community while at the same time starting to earn revenue. Now, how did that go? How did you go from there to deciding that it would be CultureCon?
Well, so it's actually funny because
that seems like 0 to 100 to me.
It's funny because CultureCon, you know, here's the thing. I love surrounding myself with people that are smarter than me. And CultureCon is the definition of that. So you've got, you know, Amber Mayfield, Nabila Ahmed, who are two, I mean, I call them my ninjas. They are incredible event planners. You know, Amber is the owner of To Be Hosted, which is a dinner series. You know, Nabila is one of my best friends. She's also the community events lead for CultureCon. So they're holding it down event logistics wise. And then you look at our talent booker team, Eric Jones, an Emmy award-winning talent booker. You know, you've got Michael Eloide, who was leading up our digital efforts, Tanis Spencer, who had her films at the Tribeca Film Festival. So our team, and I think that's something that's so important, especially if you're looking to scale, is you've got to be okay with having people that are smarter than you and who have been doing their work and are able to be like, ah, Imani, have you thought about this now? You know, I'm able to kind of be, you know, the visionary and the coach and to plug and play. I'm like, oh, that doesn't really sound like us. But I have an incredible soundboard, you know, Desiree Talley, lawyer, Tequila White, who's doing our press. We've got just incredible teammates. And I just have to make sure that that's a part of the narrative because, you know, that is how CultureCon works. I think that's how anything that's going to scale is going to work. Is in the beginning, I was cutting out, you know, the letters to go on the wall. And I'll never forget, Tequila walked over and literally pried the scissors out of my hand because she goes, Imani, we've got volunteers for that. And so that is really kind of how we've been able to produce something that's so meaningful and bigger than all of us, is that there are weekly meetings, and we run this conference like we are at NBC Universal. There are deadlines. There is, you know, it is a very well-oiled machine, and it has to be, because the best compliment I get every year is, you all run on time. And there is nothing better than the shock and surprise that a conference fully fueled by Black creatives starts on times, ends on times. The speakers that we say are going to be there are there. Those are all things that are so important to me, because we need to have more representation of what that can look like. And the fact that I look to my right and I look to my left and it's my friends who are doing their things, I'm not in their lane. It's just a beautiful, beautiful collaborative effort.
For those who haven't been, how would you describe CultureCon in your own words?
I would say that CultureCon is a 360 degrees conference, meaning we really want to cater to a full life. If you are looking to become an entrepreneur, if you decide that a 9-to-5 is for you, if you want to kind of be inspired by those who are doing both, there's a little bit for everyone. I think, you know, we really wanted to create something that felt like a creative homecoming, that you could come and again, feel like you were home immediately, because everyone there is ready to meet you. Everyone there is kind of there under this same notion that we're stronger together.
So you touched on this briefly, and I am really curious about this, because as you said, you, in your mind, it's a, you know, something that started in your apartment living room and you still think of it that way. But from the outside looking in, I'm here just marveling, because I know it's your side hustle. And I'm like, how are they doing this? How is this happening? How did they have a keynote from Tracee Ellis Ross?
Eric Jones.
So how do you recruit speakers? Do you have a whole team that's highly connected? Like, how do you convince them, especially for something that is unknown to them, right? Mm-hmm. A new conference they've never heard of. Well, how do you do that?
Yeah, so we have a speaker team. It's led by Eric Jones. Like I mentioned, Eric's been one of my closest friends, a day one. He also is an Emmy Award, 3-time Emmy Award winning talent booker. And he and I are very close in how we just look at the world. We were working together professionally before we even became friends, me pitching him talent and him booking my talent. And so that we became friends because we ran into each other at a party and someone said, Eric Jones. And I said, Eric Jones. And we've been friends ever since. So Eric is incredible. And he leads those incredible talent conversations and locks in the Tracee Ellis Rosses and the Keke Palmers. It's really incredible. On the other side of it is, you know, our brand partners also bring talent with them. And so it's kind of a little bit of this and a little bit of that. But Eric has been a driving force. You know, our talent team is a very strong machine. And I think that we've also kind of been able to lean into the fact that, you know, these incredible creatives, they want to talk to the generation coming up. They want that conversation. And seeing Elaine Welteroth and Tracee Ellis Ross walk out onto the stage and being like, oh my gosh, there's 3,000 faces looking back at me. That's a moment that you never forget, because that's what it's for, is to just show everyone that, again, like, we need each other, and this community that we're building is so much bigger than us. But yeah, I mean, we've been blessed. We've got a powerhouse team under this engine.
Kudos to you for building and being the glue for that powerhouse team, because people want to work with people they like, that they get along with. You know, I see lots of organizations start and then fall apart the next year, even when they've produced something incredible, because they don't know how to maintain these relationships. Hey guys, it's Nikayla here with a quick word from our sponsors. So the other day, I received a pair of Bombas socks. I put them on, expecting them to be comfy, of course, but I was completely blown away when I got them on my feet. It felt like my feet were surrounded by clouds. I was so impressed that I immediately dropped the other two pairs in my hospital bag. And yes, I started packing my bag for when I go into labor, all right? So let me tell you a little bit more about why these socks are so amazing. Bombas are made from super soft, natural cotton. Every pair comes with arch support, a seamless toe, and a cushioned footbed that's comfy but not too thick. It comes in all sorts of vibrant colors, patterns, lengths, and styles, and you can rock them anywhere from the gym to the office or around the house like I do. Plus, every Bombas purchase you make, Bombas donates a pair to someone in need. When I put them on, I love them so much that as soon as Moyo came home, I had him try on the Bombas that I got for him. And his first words were, "Yo, these like hug your feet." He summarized it perfectly. We have both been wearing only our Bombas socks ever since. So I just had to share it with you guys. I love the comfort. I love the quality. I love their philanthropic mission. Everything. Buy your own Bombas at bombas.com/sidehustle today and get 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/sidehustle for 20% off. If you listen to my episode on how to make money podcasting, then you know that I pitched my very first sponsor 6 months after launching this show. And you know what else I did once I landed the contract? I invoiced them using FreshBooks. FreshBooks made it so simple. That's because FreshBooks invoicing and accounting software is designed specifically for small business owners. It's simple, it's intuitive, and it keeps you organized. FreshBooks lets you create and send professional-looking invoices in 30 seconds and then get them paid 2 times faster with automated online payments. Plus, you can file expenses even quicker and keep them perfectly organized for tax time. And the best part? FreshBooks grows alongside your business, so you'll always have the tools you need when you need them without ever having to learn how to do accounting. Try it free for 30 days, no catch and no credit card required. Go to freshbooks.com/sidehustlepro and enter Side Hustle Pro in the How Did You Hear About Us section to get started. Again, that's freshbooks.com/sidehustlepro and tell them Side Hustle Pro sent you. I had the experience of doing my very first live podcast event, largely in part due to my event producer, Raina Campbell. And I saw everything that goes into, you know, booking speakers, putting out pitches. And now Imani, we know that some of these people have very high rates. And I just want your honest perspective on how you're able to recruit people who are used to being paid at a certain level. Is it through your brand partnerships or are they doing it out of the love of the brand?
Yeah, I mean, it really is case by case. But I think, you know, at the end of the day, when you find something, and I'm sure it's the same for you, when you find something that resonates with you, you're down to support it. You know what I mean? I feel like that's really what it comes down to is, you know, now more than ever, it's just so important. I think, you know, that incredible Google commercial just came out that just showed the most searched tennis player, the most searched poet, the most searched. And if they're all Black, incredible creatives, there's something to be said about paying it forward. And I think that, you know, to me, it's always a beautiful thing when these larger than life superstars, these John Legends and Tracee Ellis Ross and Quincy and Kiki Palmer, Regina King, recognize that, you know, just as important as it is to walk, you know, this red carpet, it's also super important for me to inspire this next generation of doers. And so we've been super fortunate that, you know, do we get every yes? Of course not. But, you know, when we're able to kind of explain what we're doing, we get buy-in from these larger than life creatives. A large part of that, like I mentioned, is Eric and our talent team. And a large part of that are our partnerships. But I think the biggest kind of takeaway is that they believe in kind of what we're building. And for me, it makes me speechless, honestly, because I am just looking at them like, huh? And they're standing backstage looking at us like, huh? And we're almost in awe of each other because they can't.
Right, believe, right. Yeah, they can't believe what you've created. Yeah.
Yeah. Like they're sitting back there like, okay, Wizard of Oz, like, you know, pull up the curtain. Who's really, yeah. Like, who really put this on? And we're like, us. And we're standing there like in awe that they came, that they even came. And so it is mm-hmm. a really incredible moment because you're spending your whole time like, I can't believe you're here. And they're coming back and being like, I can't believe you've done this. And it's awesome. It really is.
It really is. And, you know, you leave the audience speechless. You leave people who are seeing the experience unfold on social media speechless as well. And I love the fact, I think a true sign of a leader is how they build up and big up their team. And I love the fact that you are always sharing who does what, who is responsible for everything, because you can't do it alone. Yeah. There's no way. So I love that. Now, speaking of the marketing piece, how do you guys build that anticipation to sell tickets, to not only inspire people, but also say, hey, actually come to this event, actually spend money and come on down to this event?
I think, you know, we've been really fortunate. I think for us, it's been, and we always say we are our own audience. And so we're able to lean in to the humanity of ourselves and market to ourselves. And so we've got the advantage in the sense of knowing the target demographic because we are the target demographic. And so a lot of it is going back to like, okay, like what would we want out of a conference? And like, how can we amplify this experience? Like, what if, you know, a part of your lunch ticket came with tickets to a food truck, not at an additional price? Like, what if we could really amplify this experience and create CultureCon week? So now you're not just having a one-day conference, like you can have a whole week of programming. And I think we're always thinking about how can we super serve our community. And so when you think, when you start there, then marketing those opportunities is kind of the easy part because you've really been intentional about the programming. You know, sometimes I think the marketing can get hard when you know the product, you know, maybe isn't that strong. You're going to need a lot of hype behind it. But when you're really building something that you believe in and you're telling people, no, this was built just for you. You're not going to come here and kind of feel like, oh, there's one panel about diversity. Oh no, the whole conference is about you. We're not even saying diversity because we are us. Like, and I feel like that's kind of the beautiful thing about the marketing piece is we're really able to kind of just like showcase what's there. You know, Skylar is our incredible genius behind our Instagram, and she is a social strategist. She gets it. Michael, like I mentioned, does all of our digital marketing. And I think we're always, you know, in constant communication in terms of what are we trying to say and how can we convey this in a way that makes people realize that, you know, you don't have to change who you are before coming to this event. In fact, come exactly as you are, wear your tennis shoes. You don't need red bottoms here. Like, we're not checking for that. We want you to be your unapologetic self.
I enjoyed what you just said about if you have something that's not really what you're saying it is, it's going to be hard to market it. But when you know what you're bringing to the table, it makes it that much easier. So the first step is that quality, creating that quality product, that quality service, that quality event. And the post-event, like the during the event and the post-event scenes that you're seeing on Instagram, seen across social media, that speaks for itself. The FOMO aspect that will drive people to the next year's event is half the battle, right? Like, oh, I have to be there next year. Now, at this point, are you guys able to pay yourself as a team? Is it still a labor of love?
Yeah, people are compensated. That is important. It's been entrepreneurship has been so interesting in terms of really moving from this place of a friend group to a formalized business to structure. But the beautiful thing about structure is that there's very clear understanding and deliverables. And I think sometimes people are so hesitant to look at contracts and look at, you know, all of those things. But I think that ironically, that actually provides so much clarity because then you're able to say, this is my expectation. This is, you know, what I can pay you. Is that acceptable? And you're able to have a very clear and just transparent conversation about what the expectations are. I think sometimes, you know, when you're trying to avoid it and dance around it, that's where there can be, you know, really just shaky definitions of what it is. And so I think I've really grown in terms of being able to be like, you know, upfront, these are the expectations, these are the deliverables, and it's always a conversation. So I think just for an advice piece, you know, if it is in the beginning, and it was a very big labor of love, just being upfront with those things, and then you're giving that person a choice on if they want to, you know, dedicate their time there.
I hear that. And you're right. There comes a point where you have to put on your big girl pants, you know, your big guy pants, and face up to the hard parts of entrepreneurship, of looking at that contract, of negotiating with someone who is your friend and having to talk about numbers and all of that. And, you know, being able to do it in a mature way where you're able to separate the two. So I know it's a shift and it's going to continue being a shift, but in order for your brand to thrive, right? I'm sure this is something that has to happen. Things have to continue to get more firm as you make money, as you got to file that money with the IRS and all of that.
You ain't lying, sis. Exactly.
So speaking of that, what have been some of the challenges as you run the Creative Collection, as you run CultureCon each year now, and how are you dealing with them?
I think, you know, there's always challenges. I think, you know, in the beginning, you can get so excited that you want to do everything and you want to be a part of every conversation and you want to overserve at all times, to the point of your bandwidth is just now crazy. I think, you know, we have tried so many different versions and things and projects. And, you know, my big kind of priority is to go deeper versus going wider, in the sense of just really, really over delivering. And again, I think how you do anything is how you do everything. All of our events need to start on time. All of our events need to sell out. All of our speakers need to feel like they were incredibly prepped. I want everyone to be, you know, walking away from these experiences and feeling incredibly inspired. And so that comes with a certain amount of time. In the beginning, you know, I had so many different ideas, and I'm so thankful for, again, a sounding board who's like, all right, reel it in. Cause I'm like, oh, we should do a podcast and we should do a content series and let's take it on the road. And there's just so many different ideas. You get so excited and you have so many people giving you ideas, but those people aren't the ones who have to do the work. So you just have to remember that it's always great to take feedback and input, but that you have to like run the vision. You have to kind of make it plain. And I think that's something I'm really learning is, you know, take all the coffees, get all the advice, but at the end of the day, be honest with yourself in terms of what your goal is, what your vision is. And then another, you know, challenge I think is kind of what we just touched on is really making your process a formal situation where there is a way that we do things and there is a protocol so that everyone feels like they understand how this big machine works. Because then you can empower people to make their own decisions, to be their bravest selves, and you can kind of step back and watch that happen.
It's funny what you said about having to vet all the ideas that come your way. And, you know, you want to remain open, but at the same time, those people are not going to be the ones doing the work. And isn't it funny how everyone else has so much time to tell you what you should do with your brand that you started from scratch? I think that is the funniest thing, because it's like, I often want to be like, why don't y'all go do that? Or why don't you go start something? Like, there's nothing I hate more than a should statement coming my way.
Oh my God, yes. I know your intentions are so, you know, they're so great, but right, I can't do a pop-up in Japan next year.
Right. You should.
You should.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors, and when we keep them bottled up, it affects us negatively. I have found that therapy has been a safe space to get things off my chest. I had my daughter last August, and by January, I hit up my therapist like, let's go ahead and set up this monthly session. Therapy has been so helpful for me in setting boundaries, and it just empowers me to be the best version of myself. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, this is your sign to go ahead and do it and give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/HustlePro today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/HustlePro.
So now,
a lot of people lose money in the first 2 years of their business, especially when they're doing it at a scale that you are doing it. What has been your experience thus far, and what are your plans to become profitable?
Well, we are profitable. We've always been. And I think, you know, a secret to that is in the beginning. And I get a lot of people who ask about conferences and events. And I think, you know, the secret to that is really looking at, is we're talking about events specifically.
Yes. Give us the events juice, because a lot of people, I didn't mean to cut you off, but a lot of people talk about events, including me sometimes, of how expensive they can be. So what is the secret to be profitable? Yeah.
The secret is looking at your budget and then asking yourself, what items on this budget do I not have to pay for? Maybe I'm not getting money for it, but I'm getting an in-kind donation. So if you're looking at your budget and food for breakfast cost $3,000, can you put together a captivating email to a local, you know, bakery and get them to donate 300 croissants and save yourself that money? Because now maybe they're not paying you in money, but you're now saving money that can go to other places. And so when we first started CultureCon, you know, we were able to kind of get our food was donated by, you know, a local pizza parlor. Our liquor was donated by an incredible vodka brand. We were able to get, you know, some florals donated by someone who believed in us. Now, again, there are stipulations around all these things, meaning like for CultureCon now, if we're using small vendors, we're paying them. But this isn't, you know, when we first started, we were telling them, okay, we're going to put you all over our Instagram. We don't have the budget to pay you now. But the beautiful thing is those same people are now getting paid by us. So we never departed, you know, that relationship. And that I think has kind of been something that we're very proud of, is the same photographer that was helping us out 3 years ago now gets paid his rate 3 years later. And so a lot of it is just thinking about savings and profit in a different kind of way. Like maybe you're not going to get that $5,000 sponsorship your first year of an event, but can you save $500 here? Can you save $300 there until you're not at least in the red? Even if you break even, at least you're not in the red.
What were your biggest takeaways from the first time hosting CultureCon that you implemented in the following years?
I think one of the takeaways that we saw was really great was that these conversations, these breakout groups were incredibly important. And also that, you know, we really want as a community more access to educational and blueprint conversations, like less about, you know, what time you wake up in the morning and more about, you know, when did you get your first lawyer? should I sign this NDA? Don't commingle your funds. This is how you can save money, you know, when you're first starting out. Those kind of conversations that are really just transparent, which is another reason that I'm just so obsessed with your podcast, because I think this is what we need more of. People being very transparent in terms of, hey, like if you're putting together a huge event, you know, let's be realistic. You're probably not going to make a huge amount of money your first year, but your goal could be to be as close to breaking even as you possibly can. Because then now you're able to use that first year as a case study for the next year to get sponsors.
How do you juggle all of this? How are you juggling having a successful career and also growing an impactful side hustle on this at the same time?
I think, you know, it is a perfect storm of a few things. I think it is having a really strong team, having a really strong work ethic, God's favor, and also being able to step back sometimes and be like, okay, tonight I'm watching Netflix and I will get back to it tomorrow. But I really do think that this must-win mentality is something that I've always had. My mom always jokes in high school, you know, I was a part of like 5 different clubs, and she'd be like, Imani, like, can you just do like 3? Like, why do you need to be in 5 clubs? And she'd say, okay, pick which one is overwhelming you. Maybe you can take one off your plate. And so I would take something off my plate. Then the next week I would have joined the play and started, you know, track practice. And she'd be like, wait, what? And so as much as I try to resist it, I think this is who I've always been, is someone who really wants to contribute. I want to contribute. And when I first started, you know, I thought that I would be a part of a board of an existing community or an existing platform. And I went around to a few and I, you know, went to some meetings and I just thought, you know, if I were running this event, we would have started on time. Or if I was running this event, I would have asked questions that were a little bit deeper. Or if I were running this event, I would have loved to have small breakout groups so that we could have talked about what we just discussed. And so then I just was like, okay, so listen, don't go to all of these things and have such an opinion, like do something about it. And that really was the catalyst, was I think that that athletic ballet past of mine will always be a part of who I am.
As you were speaking, a thought just popped into my head and then it went back up. Oh my gosh. But what I will ask is, if you had a chance to start the CCNYC all over again, is there anything you would do differently?
Such a good question. If I could start it all over again, I think I would have, before I started a business, I would have consulted someone who was a business owner. I didn't talk to anyone before I didn't get any advice. And now I love advice, but because I didn't start it with a business in mind, I started it as a community. I wasn't, to be quite honest, very like preoccupied with things as like articles of organization and, you know, forming my LLC. My dad had to beg me to start an LLC. I was like, Dad, it's not a business. He was like, Imani, just okay, fine. It's not a business. Fine. It's not a business. Can you please start an LLC? And I was like, Dad, like there's no point. And every day he would be like, did you do your LLC? Did you do your LLC? And finally, just to get him to stop, I started an LLC. But that's kind of how I was approaching things. I was like, and so I would have definitely been a lot more kind of like, wait, just in case, let's get these assets together. You know, the LLC was formed and we did not commingle funds and everything is everything. But I'm very thankful that I had, you know, that guidance around me that could see something before I could see it.
What's next for the CCNYC?
So we're so excited. We just announced that CultureCon will be returning to New York City on 10/10/2020. And we are going to Atlanta for the first time on May 16th, 2020. So we are taking CultureCon on the road. Atlanta is where I am from. And so we are so excited for all of, you know, the excitement that comes with a new city, and just really excited for what the year comes. Every time we plan for something, you know, God decides, you know, he has his own plans. And I'm always I used to be very skeptical and scared of that. And now I'm just like, all right, we are taking it as it comes. So we're super excited about that.
I am excited about that too. And I'm excited for what that means for, you know, you guys, because it, that's a whole, you know, another task to put on another major conference in a different city. So congrats on growing. I am rooting for you guys and, you know, just can't wait to see it all unfold. So now we're going to transition into the lightning round. You just answer the very first thing that comes to mind. Are you ready?
Ready.
Alrighty. Number one, what is a resource that has helped you in your side hustle that you can share with a Side Hustle Pro audience?
Ooh, Fiverr.
All right. Number two, what's been the best business book that has directly helped you in business?
Dear Founder. It's amazing.
Alrighty. Number three, what is a non-negotiable part of your daily routine?
Eating.
I don't know. For some reason, that popped into my mind too as I was saying the question.
I love to eat. Oh, I could talk about food all
day. I was like, I would totally say food to this question. Okay. Number four, what is a personal habit that has helped you significantly with your side hustle?
I still handwrite my list. I don't use apps.
Ooh. And then finally, what is your parting advice for fellow side hustlers who are juggling the side hustle, juggling the main hustle?
You might think that you have to wait for your side hustle to be perfect for you to present it to the world, but nothing can be critiqued until you start. So just start.
All right. I love that. And with that, where can people connect with you and the CCNYC and CultureCon after this episode?
For sure. You guys can check us out on Instagram. I'm at Imani Imani, and the CCNYC is at the CCNYC.
All right, you guys. And there you have it. Hey guys, thanks for listening to Side Hustle Pro. If you like the show, be sure to subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts. It helps other side hustlers just like you to find the show. And if you want to hear more from me, you can follow me on Instagram at Side Hustle Pro. Plus, sign up for my 6-bullet Saturday newsletter at sidehustlepro.co/newsletter. When you sign up, you will receive weekly nuggets from me, including what I'm up to, personal lessons, and my business tip of the week. Again, that's sidehustlepro.co/newsletter to sign up. Talk to you soon.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.